Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.blogtalkradio.com. It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good
afternoon, everyone, and welcome from the bottom of my heart to all of my listening audience to Namaste Nutrition. It is such a pleasure to be here and to have you listening alongside of me to all the inspirational information that we have coming through, either through the speakers who come onto the show with me or through the guests who call in and ask questions, which I always welcome. So if anybody is interested in calling in and asking a question about wellness and health and nutrition, your show number for calling in and listening in on the queue and asking a question is 347-237-5339. And that way you'll be in the queue. If you'd like to, you just press 1 after you're actually online. And you'll be able to come in and ask a question, if you wish, of any of the people who I have on as guests. And this goes for any show that I do at any point in time. If you have a question for me, you're also welcome to contact me through email at Namaste Nutrition. I'm sorry, it's claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. And I look very much forward to hearing from you and to answering your emails. So on with the show today. I have a marvelous guest today. Her name is Pamela Edmonds. And she hails from Rhode Island in the United States. And she is a medium, and she does a whole variety of different modalities, including intuitive coaching and assisting with healing different modalities through that. Welcome to the program, Pam.
Thank you, Claudia. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. Tell us a little bit more. Yes, I can hear you just fine. It's wonderful to have you here. Tell everyone, including me, because I have to confess, and I'm very sorry about this, I was unable to check out your bio, but I'm interested in hearing more about you. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in the field that you are in, and what sets you apart.
Well, Claudia, what started it was my own personal healing, which is a very important aspect of being a healer is by doing our own work.
And of course.
Yes, and what started for me, as you did mention, I am a medium, I'm a certified medium through the spiritualist churches, and have been drawn into the church of spiritualism back in the early 90s as I was coming out of a long-term marriage, and I was totally lost. I was full of anger, sadness, you name it. And I didn't know what to do for myself. And I knew I needed to, first off, connect to, should we say, God, the universe, infinite intelligence, whatever terminology you wish to use, because I had been absent from that for many years. And that how that would be of help to me, and sure enough. And started trying different types of modalities as I was needing some sort of healing. A dear friend who is now in spirit by the name of Henry, who I used to go to do counseling, but he would do hypnosis with me and would assist me in clearing this issue and clearing that. I also, at some point, trained to become a Reiki master teacher, but didn't take... Yep, didn't just do it to your traditional Yasui, chose to then go on and take an advanced Reiki too. But even that, the Reiki, was a good tool for me while I was going through a lot of my own personal healing. Because
of course,
so many people wake up and you're feeling depressed and you can't budge, you don't want to get out of bed.
I think that there's probably a variety of people who actually experience that at some point or another in their lives. So it's important, I think, for a lot of people who are listening to understand that a lot of times the best healers have been in the same places as the people that they're trying to help now. And they might not be there now, but they've been there in the past, and they understand the situation that they're in.
So the gift of Reiki for me was there was a good period of time that I would do it on myself in the morning before I even got out of bed.
Wow.
It would help me get the energy to do what I needed to do and get up, but it also would help to start bring up some of whatever was going on inside of me, whether I needed to cry, whether I needed to get angry, whatever the process was needed. So that was a great tool. The mediumship brought a lot of healing to me. first off, I never believed that there was a spirit world whenever I first stepped into all these modalities, when I stepped on my path, I'd say. But it brought tremendous healing for me. For anybody who's lost somebody on the other side, it's huge. It is so important. I lost a mother when I was actually 7.5 months pregnant with my only child. My mother died and went to spirit. She had breast cancer. She was only 41 years old. I was about 17 and a half myself. So I was a kid. I was still a kid. I lost a dear sister who committed suicide when she was 19. And she and I've come to find out, and she and I are, what's the term, we're twin flames. For anybody who doesn't know that terminology, when God created all of us, he created us as part of a pair. And that pair split in half. Well, she's my other half from back then. So she and I had a very, very strong connection. And she's around every day with me. I mean, not every day, but my point being is she and I are still very tight. So the different going into a religion which believes in the continuity of life and that we can communicate with our loved ones was huge for me. It was tremendously huge. I also do six modalities through something called the Lightarian Institute. For anybody who's listening wants to go look it up online. And several of the modalities work with the angels. Some work with the masters. But it's all about bringing us to that higher plane of existence.
So of course,
in more light. It assists us sometimes in clearing some of the sludge we might be carrying from our childhood or past life. So everything that I've done started with me and was very important so that I could be a vehicle for other people. But it's now about me offering it to others to assist and guide them upon their path. And that's huge. I do want to touch on one other modality that has been very, very important for me.
Of course.
Part of my process was to manifest breast cancer about 7 years ago. And I understood at the time it happened that I had created it. I loved the way things were lined up. I was in the midst of doing a course of study where I was understanding at a deeper level of how we and the Creator, God, the universe, create what we bring in our lives. Okay? Through our thinking, through our behaviors, through our beliefs. Well, sure enough, when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I knew it wasn't a fluke. I knew it was a lesson. And it was a huge experience for me in not allowing the traditional medicine to keep giving me fear about the cancer, the word cancer, if you understand me. It's got a huge, huge fear energy to it. I would shake the fear. I would move beyond it so I could listen to my own guidance. I could listen to my guides. I could listen to the angels. And what did I do? I stepped away from the mainstream and was drawn to do some herbal remedies, but also was drawn to do a form of healing called Theta healing. And if you don't know about that, that's a wonderful form of healing where we can actually get in touch with our beliefs that are causing us any sort of harm or negativity in our life or keeping us back from doing something and change them. And that has been huge this past 7 years. I have moved beyond that cancer piece. It was tied to some major issues I have with mom. But you know what? I've learned a lot so I can be there to help other people. That's what it's all about.
I think the best lesson that we have is that if we go through something that's a real baptism of fire, no matter what it is, we can turn around and use it to help other people through those same experiences. And yeah, you're just a classic example of this. You know, you're taking your own experiences that could potentially have been devastating. And you're right. Yep. I think a lot of people hear the cancer word and they promptly go into fear mode. And it's like, well, I don't care what it takes, just get me into a Western doctor and let's go through the treatment. And, you know, from my own studies, and I know that you have studied some information on this as well, but the treatment itself is more often, I think, a lot worse than the actual disease. And the only reason I can say that is because it's just so much of a kick in the pants when you go through it, because the response from it, the side effects are so dramatic. And I think that what people don't realize, although I suspect most of the people who are listening in probably have a better idea about this, there are alternatives to traditional cancer treatments. There are alternatives to chemo and radiation that exist and that have been known, when people end up catching it early enough, to be able to manifest health and wellness in the body without going to the cancer, typical Western cancer treatment resort. And the only reason I that is because I've studied extensively about it, and there are other countries that treat cancer very differently than we do. And they've had excellent success rates as long as, once again, they catch it early. And so I'm just interested in finding out from you, what was the treatment that you pursued and how did it work for you? Because you said that you had breast cancer. How far along was it? What stage was it in? And what did you use in order to help treat it?
First, I need to say my mother died of breast cancer.
So that must have caused a great deal of fear as well.
Yes, and that was something that was in my energy, plus it's also something that's in the mass consciousness. Whenever we go to a new doctor or they're going over a history, and you mentioned cancer, are there any relatives you had it, and how?
Right.
And piece of you're more susceptible to get it if you've got somebody as a close family member. So that was another huge piece of this. And gratefully, I had gone past the age that my mom was, but I was still, let's just say, 7 years ago, I was in my early 50s, maybe 51 or so. And but I did start traditional treatments. I gratefully was connected to a very, very warm surgeon. I was very connected to my own, you know, higher self, my guides, and all of that. So I was very open, and so that was a good piece. And what happened was I did go through and have it surgically removed. It was stage one, but it was, how can I say, because there's two different levels. They go by stages of how progressive it is, but also how fast it's creating itself, right?
Sure.
I was on the higher end of it, of the way it was creating these extra bad cells. That's the best way I can describe it. I don't know the exact terminology, but as long as you understand what I'm saying. I did have it surgically removed. I have had a lumpectomy, and it was right about that time when I was guided to do this theta healing, but I was also went through several chemos, which you were talking about, chemo being very, very one of the, how can we say, more challenging pieces of the process to begin with. I think they wanted me to do four chemos. I only did two. The second one, I would say, I was within the week of when it was done, okay? So I'm still going through the process. My body's going through because of that, the chemo being in it. And it was like 12 or 1 o'clock at night. I'm lying in bed, me and my dear dog, Earth Angel is his name, and I'm teary because I'm feeling this stuff moving around in my system. First off, you're going to feel it anyway. But for me, being sensitive to energies as I am, I probably picked it up more than other people would. Mm-hmm. And I started talking to my guides and to God, and I said, I don't like the way I'm feeling. I don't like what this is doing to me. And I finally said, I don't want to do this anymore. And then I went to, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm teary. My eyes are partially open, partially closed. But as they were closed at one point, I had a vision of all these sets of hands around me applauding me for saying I wasn't going to do it anymore. And to me, it was hands from the other side supporting me and telling me, yes, do this, follow this path. So I stepped away from doing chemo. They wanted me to do radiation treatment. I think they wanted me to do like 30 treatments. And I said, wait a minute, the chemo was affecting me that way. The radiation is not going to be much different. I got the picture, totally. It was around Thanksgiving, and I remember telling my daughter that I wasn't going to do it anymore. She got totally upset. Actually, she went to anger and actually ended up leaving Thanksgiving. And to me, under the anger was her fear. Her fear that I was going to die, bottom line, because of the fear around cancer.
Right.
And then my father was a similar attitude. Because, of course, he'd seen his wife die with breast cancer, and that was the vision he had. So I did start doing the Theta healing, and at some point I was drawn to do a herbal treatment. I got nudged to check out. I was visiting a teacher, manifest teacher who I was studying with, that helped me to realize that I created all of this. That it was, of course, a study I was working on. And I was visiting her in California, and she says, well, there's some great, great alternative places to go around here and also in Mexico. And had given me the guidance that there was a Native American who worked with herbs that was helping me make my decision. The minute I heard that, that just started making things clear to me. I found a wonderful center. It's just over the border in Tijuana called the Biomedical Center, and they work with something called the Hoxie therapy. And for anybody,
I'm very familiar with the Hoxie therapies, and I've read the story of Harry Hoxie. It's a fantastic, mind-blowing read. And if anybody has not heard about Harry Hoxie, I would recommend a book that totally blew my mind when I read it for my cancer class when I was studying my master's degree in nutrition. It's called When Healing Becomes a Crime. I still have it on my bookshelf. That book blew me away, but it's all about Harry Hoxie, how he got started in this country, and about the Tijuana clinic that still is in existence that is treating cancer based on his therapies, which originally were created. Do you know the history of this?
I know the history. I researched it. And actually, one of the things that really helped confirm, besides the message that there was a Native American working with me, was to see that most of the herbs that are part of this therapy, give me a minute.
Native American herbs?
Wait a minute. I just had a scene moment. Okay, hang on. name, the Sleeping Prophet, Edgar Cayce, brought through the best about the whole list as far as being good herbs for cancer treatment.
Yes.
Edgar Cayce, Sleeping Prophet, which is connected to the ARE in Virginia Beach, Virginia, Mass. Virginia, okay. And he brought them through a trance state from the workers, the doctors and teachers and whatnot that worked with him from the other side. So that was a huge confirmation for me. I went to the clinic probably twice a year for several years and finally let go of it as things started getting better. I will tell you, even though I had the lump removed, it started to calcify, or calcification started to show up, and that came through in doing, and I'm drawing a blank because I've got a couple of years behind me on this, all right? They didn't think of using your traditional mammogram. There was another treatment they used which had something to do with thermology or thermo And I can't
remember. It's like a thermo heat. I think I know what you're talking about. I forget what the name of it is. But
it's it's a combination of doing an ultrasound with rating the, I guess, the way the, what they're getting. I'm not sure. I apologize. I don't have a name on this. But
that's okay.
What I did was when it was mentioned that there were calcifications coming up, and the doctor who examined me didn't say that cancer was returning, wouldn't go there, but there was changes, and it was more or less for me, okay, I'm missing something. It's getting better, but I'm missing something. And it was more about me going back and working on the emotional piece, the belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because the huge piece that traditional medicine is missing, that when we have a physical illness in our body, it's not just our body, it's our mind, it's our emotions, and it's our spirit, because we body, mind, and spirit. And that's why we're able to get healing through the alternative treatments, and the other is not fully clicking. It's not clicking at all, so sadly. So that I answered most of your questions that you were asking me?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You did a fabulous job, and I think that the people who are listening are probably going to have some wonderful food for thought over all of the information that you have disclosed, because I think that too often, you know, people are so quick to rush to the nearest cancer treatment center without seriously exploring all their options, and it's the best-kept secret in this country. The American Medical Association and the medical systems have such a tie down, a lockdown on anybody who tries to do any kind of healing work that, you know, everything is either a physical condition in a person and there's a drug to treat it, when there are so many other methods of helping people without resorting to chemicals, without resorting to things that come out of a lab. And if people are willing to check out and see what some of the alternatives are, they can end up preventing problems or, you know, resolving issues without resorting to chemicals that end up creating their own set of complications in addition to what they're already dealing with. And so this is what you're describing is exactly what I want people to do. It doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to go out and decide, okay, I'm going to go all natural. I'm not going to worry about the cancer. I'm just going to go all natural. That's not the whole purpose of this. It's to create a dialogue and to help people realize that there is a bigger sphere that they can tap into than just the narrow scope that they've been told that they have to accept. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, I do, as you're talking, I do feel like me having the cancer surgically removed at first was an important piece. It was beyond a certain point. But for me to understand both sides of the fence, so to speak, what the medical community has to offer, what it's like walking that path, but then what it's like in the alternative and what we have available there.
Exactly. And it's a question of finding the balance of both. You know, where is it that you want the medical community to help you out? Where do you want that to stop? And where do you want to take it on or more responsibility for yourself using other more complementary treatments? One of the biggest challenges, and this creates a humongous amount of controversy and conflict with people, is cancer treatment in children. Because in the American Medical Association with doctors, one of the biggest challenges is when you have a child who presents with cancer, there is a mandatory, almost demand by the doctors who are treating a child that the parents go along with their treatment. And after they end up going through the treatment, then maybe they might end up, once they become an adult, to be able to use complementary and alternative therapies. There is a great deal of controversy with regards to this, because there's so many times when people have chosen to use these kinds of modalities with the full cooperation of the child, and the AMA or the doctors themselves think that this is child abuse when they end up, you know, taking some of what they want to do or none of what they want to do, and and they go and find an alternative. And it's a challenge. So it's a question, once again, of finding that balance. You know, where is it that the AMA and the doctors can intervene and help you? And you did seem to find that really good balance. You know, you knew what you wanted the doctors to do, and you were very comfortable with it. And they wanted you to do rounds of chemotherapy, and you said, no, I think 1.5 is more than enough. And no to the radiation. And I think one of the biggest challenges, although they have gotten a lot better about targeting radiation and targeting chemotherapy towards a specific type of cancer that's in the body, there still is something of a disconnect also between treating the cancer and seeing how much it's affecting everything else within the body as well.
Exactly.
And then recognizing, you know what, I don't want to do this. I want to stop at this point and go and look for something else. I've also seen people at the other side of a full round of series of chemotherapy treatments and how it really changes people. I saw one of a family relative, a distant cousin, who had gone through chemotherapy, and I could not believe the 180-degree turnaround, not necessarily for the better, of what had happened to her after she'd gone through chemo and radiation. She was a different person, and she was forgetful. It's almost like she had reverted back. She just simply couldn't hold thoughts in her mind, and it was really sad to hear and see what she was saying when she would try to talk and communicate and couldn't do it effectively at all anymore. And that's really debilitating and very, very sad, because these are people who, at this branch of the family, were not taking the time to educate themselves. And so if anybody listening, you know, including anybody who is listening on your end of it, takes that time to do the necessary research instead of, you know, reacting out of fear when they do realize that they have that diagnosis, or if they're doing the research for another family member, recognize there are many, many ways to go. There are a humongous number of options available today that have never been available in previous times in history. And the complementary and alternative therapies are so dramatically different than chemo and radiation, and they really do make a huge difference.
Yeah, and even that short experience that I had with the chemo, I still went through the hair loss, which was devastating, and learned how important our hair is to a woman.
It's
huge. It's totally huge. Mm-hmm. And yet I set it up so that I would have a wig already when I needed it and stuff. But still, it was devastating. It was huge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I can understand now for other women who are going through it, so I can have compassion and I can help them through it. So there was a huge reason for all of this. I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm just saying it wasn't necessarily easy, but you know, if I didn't have my connection to the spirit world and to my own inner voice, I don't know what I would have done. I really don't, because that was the love I got from that. Just even if it was a word or the hands applauding me that night, that was tremendous. For me, and I often will share that because it was huge, but it was confirmation to me, Pamela, you don't need to do this. There's other ways you can heal yourself, and we want you to, we encourage you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
And it's remarkable that there are so many people who will really get the support. But you know, you're right about the hair and the other debilitating side effects from chemotherapy. It is just that. It's debilitating. And there are, you know, and it's true. You know, hair is a woman's crowning glory. And that's not necessarily the same for the men as it is for the women. But if a woman doesn't have hair, it's almost like she is considered substandard as a woman. And there's a real disconnect with regards to that. And I saw something not too long ago about how women will end up getting breast reconstruction, and now it's finally being covered by insurance, which is important because it has to do with emotional health. But there was something else that another woman who is one of my students that I teach yoga to, she's a delight, and she said to me that when she went through her cancer and she had a breast removed from cancer, breast cancer, that her doctor had encouraged her to get a breast augmentation after she'd had the cancer surgery to remove it because it leaves you unbalanced. And he pointed something out that was very interesting that I had never considered before, and that was that if you are exercising and you have the way of adjusting your body so that you are evenly distributed in terms of your left and right side, in terms of weight and proportion, it's really important to think about how your body's going to respond if you are exercising. And I had never given it some thought from that perspective before. So there's more to it than just a vanity thing. There is a lot more to it when it comes to, you know, how you are, not only how you're perceived, I mean, that's one thing, you know, but the other is, you know, how your body responds. It's like having a leg or an arm amputated. How are you going to compensate for that amputation? It's the same thing with the breast. It might not necessarily be vital for your day-to-day existence, but if it's not distributed evenly, it's going to affect how you move, how you balance, and how you function in the grand scheme of your life.
Well, gratefully, I didn't have to go that route. I have a small scar on my breast, and I actually have a small one under my arm where they pulled. They needed to take 5 lymph nodes so they could check to make sure it hadn't spread.
Sure.
And I did notice gratefully, I haven't had the swelling that some people can have when they have lymph nodes removed, too. But gratefully, it was lesser of a lot of the evils of having to have a full breast removed or people going and having 2 breasts removed. I mean, even people now who, Angelina Jolie. Having both her breasts moved because she carried the gene. That still rubbed me the wrong way.
That's not a great deal of controversy with a lot of people. You know, knowing that you have the genetic code for a potential for breast cancer, she didn't want to take the risk, and I understand why it would rub you the wrong way. But I also understand the perspective as to why she did it. And ultimately, just like any medical procedure, it's an individual decision.
Exactly. And that's why I tell people when I share my experience about the breast cancer, this was what I was prompted to do for me. Listen to what you need to do for you. And
right.
The other people, we touched on it very briefly. And I think that's what Angelina did. Where she took control, she took power over this possible situation. And that's for any of us, when we go in with any kind of illness, don't just turn yourself over to the doctors. Do what you feel you need to do. If something one of the doctors is telling you to do doesn't feel right for you, then do it.
Right. Well, I also would like to say something that you might or might not know about Angelina Jolie. I do recall that her mother and her grandmother, and there might have been an aunt as well, all tested positive for the gene, and by the time they were her age, they all had manifested cancer, and they all died from it. Or if one didn't die, but I don't remember all the details about this.
Yeah.
But I understand where she's coming from as a result of finding this information out. And so she's basically just being as proactive because she has so many young children that she wants to be there for as they get older. I can't say I blame her decision. You know, I mean, would it be a decision I would make? I don't know. I haven't been faced with it. But it's one of those things where she took control. And you got to say kudos to someone who's chosen to do that.
Right. And it's her choice, and, you know, she did what she felt she had to do, and it's still just something wasn't right for me to hear that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe because of my own experience going through where I had to do this and I had to do that to help heal myself. I don't know. But my mother had breast cancer, you know,
right.
And I get that, you know, so I don't know if the gene was present or not. I don't know the story for my siblings because I have I have 2 sisters, and I know one has had a couple little things he's had checked out, but nothing was cancerous. But it's like they're being aware. Plus, I have a daughter, you know, and of course she's gonna go and say, "Well, my mom had it, and what age mom had it, what the degrees and all that." And is it going to affect her in the future? Who knows? But, to me, I want to touch on that theta healing for anybody who's not aware of it, to look into it. It's
theta healing.
Okay. Theta healing. And if you haven't checked into it either, Claudia, the person who brought it through is someone called, her name is Deanna Stibble. She's actually out in Idaho Falls, Idaho, and been doing this work for probably, oh, God, I'm going to say maybe 15 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was already into, I'm going to say the holistic field. I'm not specifically sure what she was involved with. But what happened is she was a single mom with several kids working, and she had some sort of bone cancer in her leg. And, of course, they're talking about, they're talking about amputation. They're talking about all these other things to her. And she had a very, very strong connection to, I'm going to use the word creator, God, creator, universe, whatever. And through that connection, she started helping other people and saw people changing, saw people healing, and started doing it herself.
Wow.
And it's gone. It's been cleared. But she's what it's all about is our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I discovered I did want to die, possibly tied to losing my mother at a young age. I don't know what else, but those are some of the beliefs I had. And the belief that because I was her daughter, I needed to die the same way. The list goes on and on. Nurturing the breast. Never learned how to nurture as a child because my mother was very much depressed a lot of times and wasn't always available to me. So, I mean,
it makes a big
difference. Is those beliefs, mm-hmm. the hurts and the pains, they can be released and changed through this wonderful modality of theta healing. But you can also mm-hmm. find, like I said, shamanism, hypnosis can also help release stuff too. But do what's good for you. And, I mean, we can heal the physical body. It can't be healed because we create it. Like I mm-hmm. said, that's all this came about for me. So I hope I'm making some sense to you. And,
oh, completely, completely. I'm just listening to what you're saying, and I think that it's wonderful to hear about your experiences and how you've come through them. And like I said before, you know, if people listen to this and then connect and get the support that they need. I mean, one of the things that's so wonderful about today's day and age, and this happened even before we started really using the internet as much as we do today, but the internet just sort of sped the whole process along, is that people who have medical conditions, whatever they might be. I'm reading a book right now that's dealing with a little girl who's 6 years old, and there's a real good probability that this little girl is presenting with symptoms of celiac disease. And today it's much more widely known because more and more people are aware, okay? A lot of people don't necessarily know what celiac screw is. And for those people who are interested, celiac disease has to do with an allergy, or it's an autoimmune disease that basically causes the body to overreact to gluten, which is present in a lot of different grains that people eat, most notably wheat. And, of course, wheat is in everything we consume. It's in pasta. It's in breads. And so it creates a lot of inflammation in a healthy person, but in someone who has celiac screw, it creates a situation where the body basically ends up sending its own immune system after itself, and it causes a great deal of discomfort, a lot of other complications, and it's just a big issue. And so my, you know, the one nice thing about, like I said today, is the complete transparency that we have that exists today about medical conditions. You know, we've got President Obama, who has asked that we start mapping out the human brain, just like Bill Clinton asked to map out the human genome. This is huge. It's never been done before. And so it's just going to end up yielding some really amazing responses, and hopefully we'll take away some more of the stigma that's associated with all kinds of issues that we can end up dealing with and preventing effectively. Used to be cancer was a four-letter word. You know, you said something about cancer in society. Oh, my gosh, hush, hush, that's never to be spoken about in polite society. Now people talk about it all the time, and people who are going through cancer therapy, they will wear their headscarves. You know, you have the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. And then you have a lot of people who are getting online and getting information and getting the support that they need, and they're going above and beyond WebMD in order to find it. And, you know, it's obvious that you did a ton of research, and, you know, that's wonderful. I'd like to hear some more about how you end up helping people with healing, because I know that that's a big – a big part of what you do. Excuse me.
Well, the theta healing that I keep mentioning is
mm-hmm.
what I know at some point is going to be my the top. It's going to be my star on the tree, so to speak, as far as the modality I'm working with. And I know that's huge because even right now when I sit and do readings and stuff, I'm talking about people and their beliefs. And I have trained for Theta. Actually, I am a teacher with it. But because I had to do so much of my own personal healing, I haven't gotten my place to feel comfortable doing the Theta with other people. Is that making some sense? I hope it is. Because
absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to work at your
level. And it's on top of my list because I'm gonna retrain and do some classes. And actually, I've already heard from my guides that I'm going to start doing that before the holidays. So that's a good piece. But the whole piece is, because another part of this is my undergrad, because I've also had college. I have a bachelor's of arts in women's studies, and I'm in college right now for a master's in holistic counseling. But my point is my place is my passion is women. And a lot of it, too, is about empowerment. And didn't I discuss empowerment in some ways of how I empowered myself through my cancer experience when a lot of people might just turn themselves over to the doctor and do what you're going to do, that type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
But also the issues. A lot of people have childhood issues that they have gone through, trauma, rape, who knows what else. Inappropriate dysfunction, alcoholism, drugs, stuff, heal them. This is what I find
mm-hmm.
a lot I end up working with is giving people information and helping them to unfold themselves and to get in touch with things they haven't gone in touch with. Several of the modalities I work with literally kind of work as, I hope it's okay, I'm going to use the word like a roto-rooter. You know, help to stir up some of that energy. You know, if you're 50 years old, your past experiences have been inside of you for how long? A good 40 years plus, you know? And they need some help in releasing. So to you know, get up some of the memories. And this is where everything lies in. My experience with the cancer, that was all about the emotional stuff I was still carrying. I had done work
mm-hmm.
on my but I hadn't completed it and was still carrying a lot of anger towards him, which the bottom
yeah.
line cancer is anger. It is.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing and very subtle things. I think above and beyond the mapping of the brain, it will be very interesting to see if doctors start to make the connection between emotional health and how it can manifest in the physical. Because I think once they end up doing that, it's going to take medicine into a quantum leap forward into a totally new era. And you're just explaining it in such a very, very beautiful way. But I think a lot of people don't understand the connectivity between what you experienced when you were younger, especially with someone who was supposed to be there for you, and who passed the time when you were in a very formative place in your life. I mean, that's really tough to lose a parent when you're 18 and pregnant with your first child. That is very difficult, and that's really where I think a lot of challenges, you know, can come about for a lot of people.
Right, right. And so start with healing any fear, healing some of your anxiety, because anxiety is fear. It comes from something. Sometimes women have difficulty speaking up for themselves, and that's a lot of times related to issues with men. And it's about helping people to become aware that that's going on. I know, because I counsel on different levels. I counsel
mm-hmm.
through meetings in the way of mediumship where I'm connecting to the spirit world, or do something I call a life path reading. I also do some trance work where I'm in an altered state, and I allow some of the higher masters, the higher beings to speak to me. But I also sit and counsel, kind of like you and I are just talking here and now and needing to, you know, share and just talk about things that are nagging at us. But the point being is helping people have an awareness that something's not right so that they can let go and explore it. One comment that comes to me so often when I'm sitting doing a reading with somebody, and when is my divine light coming in or Mr. Light coming in, whatever terminology they want to use. And very often of lately, I am guided to talk about unresolved issues in their previous relationship that they're just going to repeat, or something in their childhood from their role models, their mother, their father, that they learned, that they're repeating over and over and over again. Most of the people that are coming to me are hearing me, and I trust that when they leave, they're going off to do some more work on it.
Well,
it's not my responsibility, but at least I've brought it to their attention. And it's those kinds of things, if we start working on them, not just to make peace, you know, maybe a food addiction,